Scripture passage today comes from the New Testament book of Luke, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Find that on page 1179. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. This is God's word. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this Christ, this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. This Christmas season, I invite you to pause in awe and wonder over the coming of the Savior, Jesus Christ. For the Son of God came into this world. He became a man to save us from our sins. This is the greatest news of all time, is it not? The greatest news. That's what Paul called in his letter to Timothy a mystery of godliness, that without controversy is great. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, that's the incarnation, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. For this season, I want to underline one phrase there of what Paul said. And the phrase is that he was seen by angels. And I point out to you that there are angels that run all throughout the scriptures, that they are servants of God that you find worshiping him, testifying that he is most holy and glorious. But most notable of all, you'll find angels attending the birth of Jesus Christ, his public ministry. They ministered to him at his passion as he was preparing for the cross. They were there at the resurrection, even an angel rolling away the stone at the tomb and proclaiming, announcing that he is not here, he is risen. And when he ascended on high, there were angels once again that came and explained to the disciples that he will come again. They announced that Jesus Christ will indeed come again. And when he comes, angels will come with him. He will descend from on high with angels with him. And he will descend with the voice of an archangel and the sound of a trumpet. And the dead will be raised, and all mankind will appear before the great white throne of judgment to stand before Jesus Christ. Truly, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Even angels long to peer into these things, says the Apostle Peter. Angels long to peer into these things. So I invite you this season to peer through the angel's eyes, so to speak, to hear and to marvel at that greatest announcement of all time, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. To begin a series that's going to emphasize angels, it's appropriate to ask and answer the question, so just what are angels? I want to briefly tell you some things that we would glean from the rest of Scripture about these beings. Well, let's start by the fact that God created everything from nothing. So angels must be created beings. They are not eternal. They had a beginning because God spoke and brought everything into created order. We can be even more specific than that because we understand that Jesus Christ is the agent of creation. So when we read in Colossians chapter 1, we understand that this is an indication of Jesus's being the author of the triune God to bring about creation. It says, of Christ, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. They're created beings. The Bible also teaches us that angels are spiritual beings. By that, I mean that they do not have physical bodies like we do. When God made human beings, he gave us a body and a soul. We too are spiritual beings, but we are also material beings. We have body and soul created by God. But the angels are different. They're spiritual beings. They don't have physical bodies. But they are beings who can appear to our mortal eyes. That fits with what we read in Luke chapter 2, that they could be seen, they could be heard. They appear to our mortal eyes. The Bible also tells us that angels are personal beings. They're individuals. By that I mean that they are not merely some inanimate spiritual force, like the rays of the sun that are seen but are not individuals. We know this because the Bible describes angels as expressing thought, speech, worship, even emotions, a longing, a desire to worship, a desire to look into the things of God that he is working out in history. And maybe the greatest proof is that we know the names of two of the numerous angels that there are. We know of Gabriel and Michael, They are personal beings. We also know that there is a moral character to angels, and that they are held accountable to God. We know this because some angels were and are faithful servants of the Lord. Some have kept their created place, as the New Testament describes. But others fell from grace. Others are judged even now, being thrown down by God to remain under his judgment with Satan for all eternity. But then, most important for today, God made angels to serve him. In several places, the Bible describes them as ministering servants, that they have jobs to do, we might say. They're ministering spirits. And one of the predominant ways that we see the angels ministering at God's command is that they are his messengers. In fact, that's the meaning of the word that is used in the New Testament. The word is angelos, from which we get angel, which means messenger. Generically, in other literature of the day, it was used to describe those who would be sent, maybe with a word to speak or a letter to carry. They were messengers. And here, the spiritual, mighty beings that God created are used as messengers that he sends to make announcements or to communicate to people here on this earth. Now, you heard that in the description I gave when I was defining what angels are. We can note that there were angels that announced the birth of Jesus, that announced his resurrection, that announced the anticipation of his coming again, and that will announce on that last great day that here he comes, he has returned as he has promised. And so in connection with his birth, you can find other announcements that are made. You might remember that God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary, Jesus' mother, telling her that who had never been with a man, that she was going to have a miraculous baby. The virgin would give birth, and the angel told her that that would happen and how it would happen to gird up her faith, and that you would call his name Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Gabriel went to Joseph too. Joseph was Jesus' earthly father, not the physical father of Jesus, but became the father to Jesus on this earth. And the angel told Joseph much the same thing. Your betrothed wife, your fiance, is going to have a baby, and that baby is from God, and that you should go ahead and marry her because this is from God. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So Joseph listened to that announcement, and he did what the angel told him to do. He married his fiancée, took Mary to be his wife. With that introduction, then, with what are angels, I invite you to look with me at Luke chapter 2, at this great announcement at the birth of Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear how Matthew Henry describes this in his commentary. He says that the mysteries of the gospel and the methods of man's salvation are so glorious that the blessed angels earnestly desire to look into them. They are curious, they are accurate, they are industrious in prying into them. This is Matthew Henry describing the angels and their desire to know this. They consider the whole scheme of man's redemption with deep attention and admiration. And that's what I'm aiming for us today. I'm aiming that our curiosity would be stirred up, that our awe would be deepened, that with admiration for man's redemption, for our admiration of what God would do to save you from your sins, would be heightened to the place that you would praise the Lord as well. So in Luke chapter 2, what I will concentrate here is that God sent angels to announce Jesus' birth. God sent angels to announce Jesus' birth. God had foretold this throughout the Old Testament. I hope that you've been around me enough to remember that I tell you that the whole Bible is about Jesus. From beginning to end, it's about God saving sinners through Jesus. Right at the center of the Bible is Jesus Christ, who came to save us from our sins. And throughout the Old Testament, we see foreshadowings of that. We have prophets that foretell us. God in the Garden of Eden tells us first that he would send a redeemer, a seed of the woman that would crush the head of the serpent. That's Jesus. It's the first foretelling of the coming of Jesus. And then it just follows all throughout the rest of the scripture until this great moment, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes into the world to save us from our sins. So Luke tells us that on the night that Jesus was born, that God sent an angel to announce this great event. Let's just think through what's happening here once more. Jesus was born in a little village of Bethlehem. That's the city of David. And it came about that he happened to be there. He just so happened to be there by the Lord's providence, that there was a census that was taken that brought all people to their own homeland or to their home city. And since Joseph was of the line of David, he went to David's hometown, Bethlehem. And that's where Jesus was born. And outside of that village, there were shepherds who were guarding their sheep by night. As was their custom, the variety of flocks and their shepherds would all come together in one place. They would all be gathered there, and the shepherds would watch over them through the night. They were guarding them from wild animals. They were guarding them from robbers, thieves that would try to steal the sheep away. You might imagine them on that night taking turns as they watched, as they guarded their flock from those that would threaten them. Everything was quiet. Everything was quiet. And then all of a sudden, there was an angel in their camp. And the glory of the Lord shone round about him. It says the shepherds were terrified. They weren't just startled like someone had come and bumped against them. You know how it is. You don't know they're there, and they, oh, you got me. That's not what the shepherds experienced. They were honestly terrified by the presence of this angel in their midst. And this is remarkable. Shepherds were no pushovers. They had to face off wild animals. We make note of David in the Old Testament, who guarded the sheep. He used his sling to fight off lions and bears. And here are rough and tough individuals. They could take care of the sheep. They could take care of themselves. But they were terrified by this angel. Leads us to a conclusion that it must be an awesome experience to be confronted by an angel. And the angel's first words confirm it. Don't be afraid. In fact, that's what the angels often say when they appear to human beings. Don't be scared. That's because we're terrified in the presence of angels. Mighty, glorious, strong, even warriors, having the light of God's presence all around them. And with that power of God himself on display, the shepherds were terrified. And they say, the angel says to them, don't be afraid. Why? It's because he has good news to bring to them. Now, if you read the rest of the scriptures about angels, you'll find that sometimes angels have bad news to proclaim. They sometimes proclaim the judgment of God upon those that have rebelled against him. And they bring a terrifying message, not just the terrifying presence. But in this case, they bring good news. I bring you good news. Literally, he says, I evangelize you. That's the word that's used there. The good news is what we get the word evangelism from. That's what the angels are doing. They're evangelizing the shepherds, telling them the good news of the coming of Jesus Christ. Let me just pause and elaborate on that news that he brings. He says, this is good news of great joy. Honestly, what could be greater news? And what could be greater noise? Joy. What could be greater joy than the news that the Messiah has come? Remember, the main story of the Bible is Jesus? If you think back into the Old Testament, there is all this anticipation. Lord, when will the Savior come? Even back in Genesis, when God said, I will send one that will crush the head of the serpent, a seed of the woman, the very first child that Adam and Eve had, they say, could this be the one? Could this be the promised one? And on throughout the rest of the Old Testament, you get that earnest longing for the promised Messiah. And here, the angel says, this is the news of greatest joy, that Jesus Christ has been born. The good news is specifically that Jesus is born in the city of David. Well, that's what Gabriel had told Mary. That's what Gabriel had told Joseph. And it was told long ago that Jesus, the Redeemer, would come from the line of David, and even that he would be born in the city of David, in Bethlehem. The book of Micah notes that Bethlehem would be the origin of the Messiah, the birthplace of the Messiah. And the good news is that this child is the Savior, Christ the Lord. See, the angel is multiplying titles, multiplying ways to praise God of just who it is that has come into this world. This is one of the only the few places in the New Testament that gives Jesus the title of Savior. And since it is a rare title, it is precious to us. We use it a lot. We use it because it reminds us of why Jesus came. That he came to save us from our sins. So it is a precious title for us. The angel further highlights the work of Jesus Christ by calling him Christ and Lord. That name Christ can also read Messiah, meaning the anointed one, the one promised to come to save us from our sins. And Lord is a title used in the New Testament, especially for God, highlighting his deity, that he is God himself. So we have God who became man, to be our Savior. And finally, this good news is about a Messiah who's close by. The angel gives directions on how to find the baby. And this little hint was enough of an urging for the shepherds to go and to find him. But if that were not enough, that single angel that terrified the shepherds, remember? They were shaking in their boots with one angel in their midst. Suddenly they were surrounded by a multitude of angels, a heavenly host. The sky, the place all around them is filled with angels, all sent by God to announce coming of the Savior into the world. Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill among men." First there was one angel, now there is a whole army of them, and they are all praising God for Christ. If you pause and think about it, angels, who are created beings, who were made to serve God, who are in his presence, worshiping him and serving the Lord, they knew Jesus Christ before the incarnation. He wasn't unknown. This is not the first appearance of Jesus. Jesus has existed from all eternity. He was known by the heavenly beings before the creation of the world and before his incarnation. They knew him and they worshiped him as God. Angels are also aware of man's sin and the need for salvation. The Bible doesn't tell us all that the angels knew, but as messengers of God, they interacted with sinful mankind. In fact, there was an angel that was placed at the Garden of Eden. They knew that mankind had sinned. They knew that that man had fallen from fellowship with God and were under his wrath and curse, and that the angel forbid mankind to come back into the garden, to come back into the presence of God. They knew mankind needed a Savior. We don't know exactly if the angels knew all of the details about how that would work out, but they announced Jesus as the Savior. And the types and the shadows of the Old Testament are ones that they were watching. And as Peter describes, that they were longing to look into these things. They were longing to know how God would bring about his plan of salvation. And so, as the coming of Christ is accomplished, as Jesus enters into the world, they announce this glorious event that the promised salvation was coming. And they worshiped him for that. Glory to God in the highest. All earth is filled with his praise. The angels themselves, the mighty spiritual beings, bow before God, bow before Jesus Christ in submission to him. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Angels proclaim the peace of God that comes through Jesus Christ. So how did the shepherds respond now to the angels after they get over their terror? Well, they listened and they went to see Jesus, even as the angels had instructed them. And they rushed to Bethlehem to see what they could find. They didn't let anything get in their ways. They didn't pause to update their Facebook page or their Instagram. They rushed to see Jesus. and they spread the word about Jesus. The angels had announced it to them, and now they become agents of announcement too. They told what they had heard and seen from the angels, and they told what they had seen there as they found Jesus in the manger. And they praised God for Jesus. Luke says that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They understood how important this event was. God had sent angels to announce it. More importantly, they understood that God had sent his Son into the world to announce that there is salvation from sin in him. Think about it. That's what God has done to save sinners. He stooped down to rescue us. Out of love, he sent his one and only Son who would die on the cross for our sins. And the Son humbled himself, setting aside the glory that he enjoyed in heaven. And he came into this world, becoming obedient to the Father, obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Is it any wonder then that the shepherds would respond to this great and glorious announcement with reverence and awe, praising God for Jesus? Is it any wonder that the mighty angels in heaven would want to look into this and would come en masse to praise God for Jesus Christ? They burst out in joy at the coming of Jesus Christ. Angels respond. The shepherds respond. So, what about you? How do you respond to the announcement of the coming of Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? This is the greatest good news of all time. You are offered salvation from your sin. You are offered the forgiveness of your guilt. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your past is like. It doesn't matter who your parents are. The good news is for all people, old and young, men and women of any nationality, you may come to Jesus Christ. Now, you may have come here today with the weight of the world on your shoulders. Perhaps you're crushed by some tragedy. Perhaps you agonize over a sin in your life that is kicking you down. Perhaps you know deep down that there has to be something better than what you're experiencing. You know deep down that there has to be someone to make all things right. But you despair because you just can't seem to find it. Well, today, listen to the announcement of the angels. Jesus is here. He's easy to find. He has come into the world to save you from your sin. So what will you do? What will you do today? Will you go home and forget about the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior, and get involved in the football game this afternoon or the worry of your work that's coming up this week? Will you turn against your brothers and sisters and gripe and bite and fight? Or will you be like the shepherds who heard and saw those angels? Jesus Christ has come to save you from your sins. I pray, like those shepherds, that you would hear that announcement and rush to find the Savior, who is Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we join the angels in heaven saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. God, we praise you that you have saved us from our sins. Lord, it's incredible that you would stoop down out of love to save sinners, enemies of yours. And Lord, we can indeed say with Paul, great is the mystery of godliness. It is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's join together to praise God for Jesus. Psalm 103d. Psalm 103d. You will note that the psalmist calls the angels to praise the Lord. He calls us to praise the Lord. Let's do that. So stand and sing Psalm 103d.